Thank you so much, Mr. Barnes. And thank you all. It's a great joy, always it's a great joy to visit Ulster. During the years, you have been a great, great blessing for the work of God in Romania. And my words are always poor to be able to express our deep appreciation and thanks for your love, for your prayers, for your generosity, for the work of God in Romania. And we thank you especially for giving us the opportunity this morning to be with you and to worship with you in your wonderful church. Thank you so much, Reverend Martin. And it's a great joy to see Reverend Good there also. I have to say a word of thanks to him and his family, but also to the Free Church of Hillsborough. Because during the years, this is the fifth group that I bring in your province, and each time the group stayed at the church in Hillsborough. So I thank you so much for opening the building for us, but not only the building, because we know that the people in Hillsborough and the free churches in Northern Ireland, you open your hearts for us, and we thank you from the depths of our hearts. I hope that listening to the girls and listening to the songs, God was speaking to you. God speaks to us not only through preaching, but he can speak to us through singing also. And sometimes God speaks to us just through a person, even without words. I don't know if ever happened to you to stand in the presence of somebody, and even if that person wouldn't say anything, just that person being there, through him God would speak to you. That's how I feel these days that I spend with the girls in your province. Because see, these are special girls. And I believe and I think that their singing is the best in the world. I hope you enjoy their singing this morning. But you see, you have to know and you have to understand not only where they are, but for truly to appreciate their singing, you have to know from where they are coming. Each one of them, behind them, it is a very sad story. People that were supposed to help them, to protect them, to help them grow, hurt them and created very, very deep wounds into their hearts. So when I look at them and when I listen to them singing, in one way I am full of joy, but on the other side sometimes tears come in my eyes. Because it's a miracle of God that they can sing for his glory. God is changing their lives. Half of them receive the Lord, and publicly they speak about it. So if you can see them smiling, and if you can see joy on their hearts and their faces, that is the work of God. And that's the greatest encouragement for me in ministry, and I'm sure for everyone in the staff. Because you see, when you see a life being changed, you know that God is at work. Because nobody else can change lives. We may think we can do a lot of things, even we don't. But nobody dared to think that we can change a life. So when a life is changed, I know that God is there and God is working. And I don't know about you, but I want to be involved where God is working. I want to do what he is doing. And that gives me a great encouragement in the ministry. I tell you all of this, all these things, and I hope that the presence of the girls in your church this morning, it is an encouragement for you as much as it is for me. It is our way of saying thank you for being alongside us. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your prayers. None of these things could happen without your involvement. And we thank you from the depths of our hearts. We pray for you and we love you in the Lord. And we would appreciate very much your prayers for us also, for the girls in a special way. One of the challenges for us in the future is what is going to happen with the girls when they finish school. When they have to move from the homes, where they are going. And really is no place for them to go at this moment. But we have to do something. We are investing in their lives for long term. And they know it. And we promise them to do so. So we started a project, we call it the Aspiration. And through that project, we want to walk with them through life as much as they need. We want to be able to sponsor them to go to school as much as they can, as much as they want. We want to find a job for them. We want to be with them when they'll get married. We want to walk with them and to be sure that they are going to make it in life. That moment when they have to move from the house, it's a challenging moment. But if we lose them at that moment, then all the investment for the years, I cannot say it was in vain, because I'm sure that the seeds we plant now will bring fruit at God's timing. But it will be very sad for that to happen. So we do appreciate very much your prayers for the future of the girls, for each one of them. We have two homes now. Both of them are full. There are 10 girls in each home and a couple of parents, Christian couple, that were there and functioned as parents for the girls. That is a call for ministry for those parents, because they don't work 8 hours a day. They work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without vacation, without any free time. That's their family. And they are a family. And it's such a joy in my heart when I see that the girls, they love each other, they encourage each other. Some of the girls, they told me that before they go to bed, they come together and they pray together one for another. And their sleep is peaceful. I'm aware the time is going and fast, and I don't want to be too long. But we cannot close without thinking, without concentrating our lives and our mind, our thoughts, to the one that brought us together. Because we are together not because the girls are here. We are here not because the Romanians came. We are here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one that brought us together is our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like to close this meeting by drawing your attention to our Lord Jesus Christ, and I would just like to read 2 or 3 verses from Colossians chapter 1. From verse 15, the Bible says that He, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen. These are wonderful verses that speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ, about the one who loved us so much that He left the glory of heaven and came on earth, and He took upon Himself our humanness, and He took upon Himself our sins, and He died on the Calvary cross for our salvation. During the time when Paul writes this letter to Colossians, in that church in Colossians began a false teaching that is called Gnosticism. That false teaching, you know, during the church history, most of the attacks about Christianity, they were directed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, Satan knows that he can destroy the truth about our Lord Jesus Christ, then everything falls apart, because everything stays together in Him and through Him. So from the beginning of the church, the devil, Satan, tried to destroy, to attack the truth regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He? And Paul writes his letter to answer to some of those concerned that were denying the deity and humanity and the sufficiency of his life and his work on the Calvary cross for our salvation. And Paul has a divine revelation to, as an answer to that situation during those days. But this is the word of God, and it was not only for those days, it is for us today. Because today there are all kinds of philosophies, all kinds of teaching that deny the deity, that deny the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be rooted deep in the word of God and to know very deep into our hearts who is He. And what He did for us and for our salvation. So the first thing Paul is telling us is, who is our Lord Jesus Christ in relationship with God the Father? And he said in verse 15 that He is the image of the invisible God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. I read a story about a young boy, let's say his name was Johnny, and he was in school in the second grade, and the teacher gave the boys to draw a picture from the Bible. And Johnny, he was drawing very hard, and the teacher came behind him and looked what he was drawing and asked him, Johnny, what are you doing? What do you want to draw? I said, oh, I want to draw the image of God. But the teacher said, but you know, we learn in Sunday school that nobody knows how God looks like. We don't know, so you cannot draw His image. And Johnny said, oh, everyone will know when I will finish it. Sometimes we think we know. But do we? Are we sure? The Bible says, the Paul says, He, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. No, the Bible said that God created us. God created us human beings in His image. So we have in ourselves God's image. Does it mean that that's all what Jesus is? For sure not. You know, there are qualities, there are things that God put into us in human beings when He created us that were just part of Him before. Nobody else, no other creature had those. Kind of like, you know, He is holy, but we are not holy as He is. He has all the wisdom. Yes, we have wisdom, but we don't have all the wisdom. He has all the power. Yes, we have power, but we are not all powerful like He is. But all what the Father is, our Lord Jesus Christ is. That's what Paul wants to tell us here. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, who saw me, saw the Father. I and the Father am one. He is the image of the invisible God. What He is God. 100% God. And that was the first thing that Paul thought he needs to tell the people in Colossians, to know for sure that He, our Lord Jesus Christ, is God. And we have to know it very, very well. And also, the Bible says here, Paul says that He is the firstborn of every creature. He's the firstborn. Now, what that means, He's the firstborn? Does it mean that He had a beginning of His days? You know, some people, they come with this idea. Oh, He's the firstborn, so He was born. Yes, He was the firstborn, but He was born, that means He has a beginning of days. That's not what the Bible says here. That's not what Paul tells us here. The word here is prototopos. And prototopos means the first as chronology, but it means first as position also. And in the Bible, if you read the Bible, you will find this word used as first in position. It is said that Jacob is prototopos of Isaac. It says that Solomon is prototopos of David. Now, Solomon was not the firstborn of David. And also James was not the firstborn, was Esau. But in position, James and Solomon, they receive the first position, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the first. He is number one. Is nobody above them. He has a preeminence in all the things. He is the image of God. He is the firstborn. He has a preeminence. He is number one. And the second, Paul tells us, who is He in relationship with the created world, with the spiritual world. verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created, by that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." You know, the teaching, the false teaching was saying that to be saved you have to get a special knowledge. And that special knowledge, you have to go from inferior things to superior things, and you have to grow. And all these names they use, those false teachers, like thrones and dominions and principalities, there were stages of knowledge, stages of powers that will go from inferior to superior until you get to God finally. That was their teaching. And Paul says, no, Jesus is not one of those. He is not one of those angels, one of those powers. He is the creator of all those things. He is in control of all those things. All are under him. He is above everyone else. And then tells us, we see in relationship with the universe. And the Bible says that he, all things have been created through him. Verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Everything was created by him. So the word that spoke at the beginning in Genesis, to be light, it was the word of Jesus Christ. He was there. In a way, you see, we can even think and imagine that that tree he was hanged on, the Calvary, was created by him. Those nails that I put into his hand were created by him. He is the creator of everything. All things have been created by him, and they were created for him. So everything that exists, even ourselves, we are created not for ourselves. Things we enjoy every day are not ours, first of all. Are his things. Everything is his. And we have to understand, and we have to have this principle, these important principles, into our mind, so we can have a proper view about ourselves and about things around us. Everything was created by him, and for him, and through him. And he sustained everything. He is in all the things. And thirdly, I want to draw now your attention to a personal application. Because if we just stay at the doctrinal level, at the theological level, and we have all these things in our heads, that's nice and it's good. But it's not enough. We have to apply those things to our own lives. And the question this morning is this: who is our Lord Jesus Christ for you? Who is he for you? Yes, God made him. God made him Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Nobody can change that. I cannot, my faith or my belief or unbelief or your belief or unbelief cannot change that reality. But who is he for you? For your own life? What is your relationship with him? What do you think about him? Who is Jesus for you? What are you doing with him? You know, Pilate, he asked that question when he was pushed to condemn Jesus. He asked that question, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" What are you doing with him? That is a question this morning. The Bible tells us who he is. But the question is, who is he for you and for your life? You know, the Bible says that the day will come, and before our Lord Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess for the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But that day is not going to be a day of salvation. The day of salvation is today. Today is a day of salvation, and today I am calling you to our Lord Jesus. Come to Jesus. He is here with us. He is waiting upon you to come to him, to receive him in your hearts, to take him in your home, and to live for him. And this is our prayers for you this morning. To live with Jesus in your hearts. Take him to your home. Give your life to him. It will be a great joy for me and for us from Romania to come all the way to Northern Ireland and to know that at least one person took Jesus as Lord and Savior. That will be great. And that's our prayer for you. Thank you very much. And may the Lord bless you. Amen.